Push all things aside and focus on Him. Amen. If you're joining by way of the internet, amen, we just want you to feel like you're part of the service. Amen. Let's sing the song, I'm Amazed That You Love Me.
I'm amazed. I'm amazed that you love me. Yes, I'm amazed how you care. My sins are washed, they're all washed away. All my sins are washed away.
First verse.
No one knew how alone I was feeling, and the emptiness I tried so hard to hide. Though I laughed, said my life was fine without you. I was covering up the secret tears I cried. And then one day someone told me of your mercy and the love you showed on a hill called Calvary, where you died.
purchased my redemption. When you broke sin's power and set my spirit free, yes, Lord, I'm amazed. Glory, God, you love me. Oh, yes, I'm amazed at how you care. And through your precious blood, I found pardon. Though my sins are washed, well, they're all washed away. All my sins are washed away. Oh, it's true, there have been days when I failed you. Oh, Lord, you know the many times I've gone astray. But I've learned your love is stronger than my weakness. Your ear is open every time I pray. No one else has ever cared for me like you, Lord. Other friends could never be as close to me. See, I'm not afraid to face the problems of tomorrow. Knowing you are everything I'm living in. I'm amazed. Oh, why don't you worship him? I'm amazed, Lord, at how you came through your precious blood. I found pardon for all my sins. Well, they're washed, they're all washed away. Oh, my sins are washed. Come on, let's sing it again now. Hallelujah. Well, I'm amazed. Oh, Lord, how amazed. Through your precious blood, I found pardon. Oh yes, and all my sins are washed. Oh, they're all washed away. Oh, my sins are washed away. Hallelujah. Amen. You deserve the glory and the honor. Oh Lord, we lift our hands in worship as we lift your holy name. You deserve the glory and the honor. Lord, we lift our hands as we lift your holy name. For you are great, you do miracles so great, there is no one else like you, there is no one else like you. For you are great, so great, there is no one else like you, Lord. There is no one else like you. You deserve the glory. You deserve the glory and all the honor. As we lift your holy name, oh, you deserve the glory. And Give him some praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. We're going to take our songs, or our prayer requests at this time. Pardon me, musicians, if you could play that softly. Some music there. Amen. I'm going to let you have your seats for just a moment. And to save time, after we take these prayer requests, I'll have the deacons come forward and we'll take our evening offering directly after. Amen. Some of these were mentioned this morning. I want to continue to remember these folks in prayer. Amen. for the prayer, the two prayer requests for the Smiths, we want to remember Sister Talisha Siegel and their granddaughter who had a stroke. Amen. She was flown to Concord on Friday for surgery, and she is in recovery. So let's remember her in prayer. Amen. Also, their grandson, Jacob Harris, he was struck by a car while he was working, and he was in a delivery truck, amen, and got side T-boned, it says here, and you just want to remember him. Prayer, he's having some speech and memory issues, amen, that God would touch his body. Please remember Brother Larry Pruitt in prayer, especially. Dear Brother Larry Pruitt is needing a touch from the Lord, amen. Doctors are having trouble finding out what the issues are that he's having, amen. Let's pray that God will restore our brother, amen, his health. Remember the Ivies that are away traveling. The Claybills are also traveling. They're not with us this evening. That's all the requests that I have at this time. I'd like to ask Brother Mark Sylvester if he would take these needs before the Lord, amen. If our deacons would come forward as well, let's all stand. And if you have prayer requests by uplifted hands, amen, God knows your needs. Hold those on your heart. Amen. Brother Mark, if you would pray over the offering as well.
Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, it's good to be in your house again this evening, Father. Lord, we come with great anticipation, Lord, after we've sit at your table this morning, Lord, and feasted on your word. We, Lord, just can't seem to have enough, Lord. We're back again, Lord, wanting even more, Father. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, for providing your precious word, Lord, how it provides every need that we may have, Lord, the joy and peace it brings, and Lord, all your precious promises, Lord, that we have. We thank you for that, Lord. And Lord, we bring these before you, Lord, that are sick, Lord, desperate needs, Lord, that the Smiths, Lord, their two requests, Lord, for family members. We pray, Lord, that you will have mercy, Father, and touch these, Lord, that it's in these condition, Lord, that maybe an accident or sickness, Lord, as it's befallen them. We pray, Lord, that you'll touch them, Lord, and raise them up for your glory, Father. And our precious brother Larry, Lord, who needs a touch from you, Lord, and the things that he's going through, we pray, Lord Jesus, that you will touch him, Lord. He's trusted in you these many years and served you, Lord, and a believer that, like we are, Father, we pray that you will have mercy on our brother and touch him. Lord, you see each uplifted hand, every need that's on every heart, Lord, we pray that you will grant each, Father. We thank you, Lord, for all you've done for us, Lord, the many prayers that you've answered before, Lord. We know that you can hear these prayers that we've mentioned, Lord, because you've answered prayers before just like you said you would, Lord. And we know that you keep your word. And Father, bless the preacher as he comes, Lord. Anoint him, Lord. Anoint us that we may receive your word, Lord. And go out of here, Father, rejoicing because you've met with us, Lord, and you've spoken to us. Granted, Lord, in every song that's sung, Lord, we give you glory and praise. Lord, for thou art worthy, Father. We pray and thank you and commit the rest of the service into your hands. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
let's sing that song. Open the eyes of my heart. I'm going to let you have your seats. If our choir could be making their way as we sing this song together, we have a special for you tonight. So choir, come forward as we sing.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Yes, I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Yes, I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, oh, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Holy, 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 I want to see you. Yes, I want to see you.
Open the eyes of my heart.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Yes, I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. Oh, I want to see you. Yes, I want to see you.
Amen. Hallelujah. Man, we have a special song for you tonight. Man, this song is very special to me. So if you know it, we just want you to join right in and sing it with us. Amen.
Taking it back, everything that the devil stole from me.
Satan only comes to kill, to steal, and destroy. And I must admit, there have been times when he's taken away my joy. But I'm serving notice on the devil today. His kingdom is under attack. 'Cause I'm on my way down to his cave, and I'm taking my property back. Devil,
I'm taking back everything that the devil stole from me.
Well, I'm taking back,
everything that the devil stole from me.
I'm taking back my soul,
my
death,
my
joy,
my peace.
Taking it back,
everything that the devil stole.
Well, I'm taking it back.
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 I'm taking it back. I'm taking back my soul. Satan only comes to kill, to steal, and destroy. Oh, that I must confess that there have been times when he's taken away my joy. But I'm serving notice on the devil today. His kingdom is under attack. 'Cause I'm on my way down to his camp, and I'm taking my property back. Devil,
I'm taking back everything that the devil stole from me.
But I'm taking back.
Everything that the devil stole from me.
Take back my soul,
my soul,
my day,
my
joy,
my joy,
my peace.
I'm taking it back. Everything that the devil stole from me.
Stand and sing. Well, I'm taking back. Thank you, choir. Appreciate that. Amen. Thank you, Sister Laura. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's just remain standing. Without further ado, we're going to ask our pastor to come forward. Why don't we sing that song, I'm Going to Put My Armor On. I think it's key of C. Amen. Just need to put that armor on. Hallelujah. We got everything we need. It's right here in the Word. Just got to put it on and take back what belongs to us. Hallelujah.
Well, I'm gonna put my armor on. I'm gonna stand in battle and sing my Savior's song. Seems like I've been sitting on my circumstances so long. Yes, I'm gonna put my armor on. Sing it again now. I'm gonna put my armor on.
I'm gonna stand in battle, sing my Savior's song. Seems like I've been sitting on my circumstance too long. I'm gonna put my armor. Sing it again now. Sing my Savior's song.
Praise the Lord. Glory. That's all right. Why shouldn't we praise Him? Why shouldn't we praise Him? We know the end of the story, right? We've read the end of the book. We know how it all comes out. We're on the winning side. We just haven't caught up with our new bodies yet over there in that dimension there. But I'll tell you what, we're singing like we really mean it. And you know what? Singing won't give it to you, but if you got it, you'll sing. God is good. Appreciate each and every one of you being here tonight. And I told Brother Danny, I said, you know, there ain't no way. Just ain't no way he can finish a topic like that tonight in one service. So I said, we're just going to have to reschedule again and just have him come on up and take maybe a little longer stint. I just enjoyed the word this morning. Just so much to think about, you know. And you know, the disciples are always putting this question to Jesus, is saying, "Are you gonna take the kingdom now? Are you gonna take it from the Romans and establish dominion now? Like, you know, like we always interpreted a king as taking dominion. You're gonna do it now, but it wasn't the time. It's the right thing, but it's not the right time. So when we think about taking dominion, it covers a lot of things. It covers a lot of things, and there's so much in Scripture about what we do with the word and how we even have dominion over our own bodies and our own spirits. I think it'd be a great victory if I had dominion over my own tongue. I'm just saying for me now, not for you. I'm just saying for me. And so when we talk about taking dominion, you know, it's just an important thing. Anyway, I'm not preaching. I could, but I'm not preaching tonight. Two things I want to leave with you, all right? And we're going to invite Brother Danny to come. We're going to sing one more chorus here. Number one, Brother Larry Pruitt's going through it. The doctors do not know at this point really what's taking place. It's almost like, and I forgive the analogy, but it's almost like they're throwing darts at the dartboard, try to find something there. But he's really suffering. He's really going through things. He's scheduled for a scan on Tuesday. And so if you don't mind remembering that need, and he's not here today because he's not feeling well, and I can assure you that if Brother Larry's not in church, he's not feeling good. He's a very, very faithful brother and comes no matter what. And if he's not here, I know he's hurting. And so he texted me early this morning, and he just asked me if we'd remember that need in prayer, especially on Tuesday. And just trust that sometimes it's a good thing to know what's happening so we know exactly how to pray. And, you know, God's a miracle worker and a healer no matter what. But I know that for him not knowing and suffering and not knowing is a difficult thing. So we'd ask you to remember that. The second thing is this, that we have time creeps up on us. We're already in June here, and we have the Adventures program at the end of the month. We need you parents here, our local people, to sign up because we have to order materials and supplies for the event. That's got to happen prior to Adventures. So this is the sign-up sheet. It's in the lobby. It's online. Sign up your kids online. I knew that. This is the helper sheet. That's for the rest of you to sign up. We need the kids sign up, but the parents will probably sign up for the kids. Right. So let's just be mindful of that and the time frame we're dealing with here because we need that. This is an activity that's open to others outside of our church. So if you know people in other assemblies or other families that would benefit from doing this, they're certainly welcome to sign up. But we need adults here to sign up and give. You don't have to be there every day. There are some activities that, you know, like you might be free on a Friday or a Saturday, right? And they could come and help. We can plug you in. But we do need help, and we do need families here to sign up. So if you don't mind remembering that, and taking care of that. And you kids, when your parents forget, you can remind them to go and sign you up online. So you will have a place there, okay? We would appreciate that very much. This is your house. Is there anything else that we need to add to that? Are we okay? We're okay. We have church Wednesday night. We'll remind you again. We have church Wednesday night, right? Wednesday night, right? You be here. This is your house. Let's sing it as Brother Danny comes tonight. How many are ready for the word? This is your house. Father, come and dwell. This is your house.
bring their burdens and their cares. This is your house. Lord, this is your house. Come and dwell. And we are yours.
God bless you. We just want to say thank you for the opportunity to be able to be here and to be a part of the service today. It's been a real privilege, and you're a wonderful group to preach to. So God bless you. And thank you, Brother Barry, for all your hospitality and just making us feel welcome. You know, it'd be easy to have somebody in and then give them the cold shoulder, but you all don't do that, and we appreciate that. I guess it'd be easy, wouldn't it? Okay. So anyway, well, that's good. He don't know how to do it, but... It's just good to be able to feel like family. And truly, amen, we are the people that's going to be enjoying life together on the other side. So we look forward to doing that with you. Can we just bow our heads, amen, for a word of prayer? Our gracious Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, once again for the privilege that we have to gather into church and to worship you in spirit and in truth, Lord, to learn from you, to be helped by one another. Sometimes somebody wonders, what is the benefit of coming to church like this? And what good does it do me? Sometimes it's hard, and sometimes we get sleepy or battle thoughts and things. What good does it do me? But, Lord, may they realize it's not only doing good for them that the Word is coming in and washing them, but, Lord, their testimony of sitting in that seat and maybe just being faithful there is an encouragement, Lord, not only to the pastor, but to those around him, Lord, that our very lives that we are living are every joint supplying to the body. Yes. Now, Lord, I pray that you just help us once again this evening, anoint my lips, anoint the ears of the hearer. And Lord, when we get done, we can say, it's been good to be in the house of the Lord, and it's been good to be in your presence. May you heal the sick among us, as we was hearing our brother Barry talk about that brother who would long to be in church, Lord, and is not feeling well. May you just go to his bedside and minister to him, Father. Lord, you, Lord, are touched by the feeling of our infirmities. And I just ask these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you can turn in your Bibles to Matthew, the 24th chapter. Amen. This evening, I'm just going to continue on in the same thought of opportunities of godly dominion. And one of the challenges of services like this is when you have preached something at your home church, you can take as much time as you want. If you don't finish it on Sunday, you can go to the next Sunday, and then to the next Sunday, and then to the next Sunday, and or however you're going to do it. And the challenge is when you go visit a church and you preach there once or twice, you can't take all those Sundays and put them all in one service, because if you do that, they may not come back for the pastor next Sunday. Right? Amen. So we want to just ask the Lord just to just go to certain thoughts, and then we'll be done. But we had spoke a little bit on Jeroboam this morning and the opportunities that he had, and we couldn't go as in-depth as we had liked to, but I believe that the point of it was that when God gives His Word to us, we have a responsibility that comes with the hearing of the Word. And it's not entertainment. It's not that I feel better when I hear it. But we are actually responsible for it, because we are the people it's intended for. And then it's intended to work through us. because we're God's conduit. If He says, I am the vine and you are the branch, well, then the branch has to bear what's in the vine. It's a responsibility. Amen. So Matthew 24:42, Jesus said, "Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched, and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, in an hour that he's not aware of, and shall cut him asunder and appoint his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." You can be seated. May the Lord bless the reading of His Word. May the Lord bless you. And amen. I also wanted to thank, amen, the church for the wonderful meal today. And God bless you all for all those efforts. I think it's good to be able to gather and have fellowship with one another. Right? Amen. So, we were speaking, entitled this, The Opportunities of Godly Dominion. Brother Branham made this statement talking about Jesus Christ, or talking about Jesus being the rock that the water flows from. He said, "I'm not the rock, I'm just His outlet. Our ministries are just outlets, a pipe where the water flows through. Don't glorify the pipe, glorify the water that you're getting out of the pipe, for the water comes from the fountain. Glorify the water." Then remember, it can't be me that's healing you. The pipe doesn't give you a drink. The stem that comes through doesn't give a drink. It only supplies the water. You drink from that smitten rock that's already been smote. I think that's a tremendous statement, that we are only outlets. And I think no matter what our ministries are, and no matter what they encompass, amen, every mother in here is a minister. Is that right? Every pulpit minister is a minister. But every one of us have a ministry that God has ordained the footsteps that we would walk in them. Whether you're in school, on the job, no matter where it is, there's an expectation that goes with us, because we have a responsibility of the Word that we've been given. You see, the Word wasn't just given to save you. Amen. But to be a conduit of the Word that saves. Amen. There's a responsibility. We use so many phrases that have actually been introduced, and I found out that in any revival, there's always new phrases that are being introduced in that revival, and they're not wrong, but they're there to maybe give the people more understanding of what God is doing, or to broaden their thinking on how God is moving. For instance, we know there's a prophecy was given in the book of Genesis that the woman's seed would bruise the head of the serpent. Is that true? Yeah. Well, for many years, no doubt hundreds of years, generations, that was the only understanding of that scripture, was that their woman's seed is going to bruise the head of the serpent.
Yeah.
And no doubt they didn't know who the woman's seed was, though in prophecy we know it's talking about Jesus Christ. But then God introduced another part of that prophecy. It never changed the word. It just gave the people more understanding. And that woman's seed began to be called Abraham's seed. Is that right?
Yeah.
But it's still the woman's seed, but now it's called Abraham's seed. And then to just keep... And what it's supposed to do is... Well, Abraham could say, you know, I'm part of that prophecy. You see, it just broadened his understanding. But there came a responsibility with that prophecy to Abraham that he had to live up to. And until he lived up to it, and you say, well, how can I do it? My merits aren't good enough. I totally understand that. That's not what I'm talking about. Living up to the prophecy is doing what the Word says. Simply as that. You know, God told him, leave your kindred. Well, he left most of his kindred. He didn't leave all his kindred. Now, he's the one, amen, who's broadening the understanding of the prophecy because he's Abraham's seed. And God is going to use his life on earth to actually be many stations of the church that we can look back and see, well, this is how God is dealing with His people. And then through Abraham, God gave him the promise of the Exodus and what he would do and showed him the light going between the darkness and between the sacrifice. And so Abraham's own life was actually a magnification of the prophecy that was given in Eden.
Yeah.
It didn't distort the prophecy.
Yeah.
Where the prophecy becomes distorted is when we try to put in our own manufacturing of how we think God should do it. For instance, amen, introducing Hagar into the prophecy was never God's intention.
Yeah.
And so that introduction, amen, became an Ishmael, which became a thorn in the side, amen, and was the son of the bondswoman, had to be cast out.
Yeah.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Anything we introduce into the message of our own has to be cast out.
Amen.
Amen, because it's not godly dominion when it's our own manufacturing. But, you know, we become impatient with the promise. Amen. That when God has said something, well, you know, it's taking too long for it to happen. So let me introduce to you how I think it's happening.
Yeah.
And when we do that, we bring an Ishmael into the picture. And an Ishmael is a mocker of the promise. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So there's a responsibility. And then God even broadened more the understanding of who Abraham's seed was. And then it became, amen, the seed of David. Right? Still Abraham's seed. But then it was going to come through the seed of David, be called the son of David. Amen. It just keeps magnifying what God has already said. Never distorting it, magnifying it. Amen. That's what God is doing today. He's not distorting anything in His Word. He's magnifying it. And there's many phrases that have been introduced into our time and our generation that we're not part of another revival, but it's now part of this revival.
Yeah.
For instance, things like the third pull. Well, you didn't hear the Pentecostals preaching that. Is that right? Well, they might know they're looking for an Elijah to come. They're looking for this. But when Elijah came, he introduced many things that only broadened our understanding of the Word. Never distorted it. Now, we can distort it, but it didn't distort it.
Yeah.
For instance, George Whitefield, when he came, back in the Great Awakening, one of the ministers that was responsible for the Great Awakening and brought the revolution of spirit into the people. Amen. He introduced a phrase that he was criticized for many, many times, and that was the new birth. You see, they knew about being born again, but now he's calling a new birth, and he became a radical to them. But it wasn't distorting the Word. It was just showing them, amen, this is what God is looking for, and this is the channel He's using. And so now we've been inundated with things that have become buzzwords. And people will use them, even as ministers will use them and not really understand what they're saying. And those buzzwords can become dominating forces that rule over the people, and the people are held back by it when God actually gives it to us, amen, to broaden and magnify the Word to us, amen, of the grace of God to you in your life. So there's a responsibility when the book is open to us. Brother Branham said after the seven seals that the Bible became a new book. It didn't become a different book. It became a new book. Why? Because God, it was the Spirit of restoration bringing back to us the words that had been previously hidden from the people because of the wrong filters and the wrong understandings. When Jesus took the book in His hometown and He opened it up, found the place it was written, and He read to them out of Isaiah, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for He has anointed me to bring unto you glad tidings," and so forth. The Bible says He closed the book, handed it back to the priest, and He sat down. Amen. He said, This day the Scripture is fulfilled in your ears. Now why did Jesus do that? Because the Holy Spirit led Him to that place, and He had a responsibility that after opening the Word, He is the one who's fulfilling it. The anointing is upon Him, and He is not just quoting it. He is fulfilling it. And because He's fulfilling it, listen, to quote it is not to fulfill it. But, amen, if He is the one called to say, this day, this Scripture is fulfilled, then His life has to give the people every chance they can to see that it's being fulfilled. He didn't just quote it. The anointing was there to fulfill it.
Amen. Good.
And sometimes, you know, we can use the Scriptures and the quotes of Brother Branham, and I trust this is okay to say it like this. We can take John 66, and how He spoke the Word and they walked away because they didn't understand it. The 70 said it's too hard. And we can hammer that to the people so much and say, see, you're walking away because it wasn't for you in the first place.
Yeah, right.
But I want to say this. Before they ever walked away, Jesus had showed them fully who He was. They saw the attributes of God. They saw the divine healing on display in a way they'd never seen before in their life.
Amen.
They saw the mercy of God.
Amen.
Come on. They saw the miracles. They saw the full attributes on display. They didn't just walk away because of an intellectual dispute. It was that the seed was not in them to receive it. But God had even given non-seed full disclosure. By the life, they might not have understood it, but by the life that was being lived before them.
Yeah.
They saw the range of His compassion.
Yeah.
They saw His prayer life. They saw His love for the people.
Amen.
He was not just a pulpit minister.
Right.
He was a servant.
Amen.
They knew that His life had power over the enemy. They knew that he was so in tune and harmony with God that whatever God told him, that's the way he was going to go. That when he would even walk by the pool of Bethesda and all the thousands that lay there, and how Brother Branham described it in such a way that he bypassed them all and only went to one.
Yeah.
He'd understand this is why he did it. Why? They saw what a man did after he opened the Word. The Bible says, those that sat in darkness saw great light.
Sure.
You know, a Scripture that has always astounded me is in Luke 5. The Bible says, it came to pass, a tremendous statement. It came to pass as He was teaching that there was Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And the Bible says the power of the Lord was present to heal them. You know, they weren't interested in that. They was interested in arguing the points of the law. They was interested in arguing what they thought was wrong with Jesus and how He was bringing the Word and how He didn't have the right to say what He said. But the Bible says the power of the Lord was present to heal them. You see, they are without excuse because it wasn't that Jesus was turning them off. He was trying. He said, how oft I would have hovered over you, but you would not. Opportunity after opportunity that He would give them, but He says, you wouldn't. You didn't want it. So it wasn't that we can just take the quotes and say, well, I'm going to preach this to drive the people away because they don't understand me. Well, you can do that. And you're responsible for doing that. But before you do it, be sure they see fully Christ on display in your life. Because, amen, you have a responsibility to dominion. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I've always loved this story, and I just throw this in, about George Whitefield, of how he was such a preacher, and how he would go through the communities preaching and stirring the hearts of the people. He was an odd preacher. He wasn't your normal pulpit preacher. He was very animated and expressive in how he did, and so many of the churches were uncomfortable with him. Brother Barry, I've got to be honest, when I found out he's animated, it made me feel better.
Yeah, right.
Amen. And so I said, well, hey, he did it, so, you know, I guess it's all right. But anyway, so they put his traveling pulpit up on display in the American, I believe, American Tract Society in New York. And it was there, they had a pulpit, his traveling pulpit, and they had a plain wooden back chair sitting there side by side, two objects on display. And so they said, the one that Whitfield used, the pulpit, this apostle was going around to all the people, taking his Bible and preaching, and that pulpit was a symbol of his Christian zeal. But, and there he used to be, and all the souls that were won by that preaching over that pulpit. They said they didn't know. But they said then this chair that was put on display was a chair that the dairyman's daughter would sit in. Her name was Elizabeth Walbridge. She had a disease, and she would sit in that chair, and she would cough, and she would whisper, and she only moved from that chair at her last hour to the couch where she died. So they said, here we have a pulpit where the word is preached with zeal, and here we have a chair where a girl who had a disease, that she always sit in that chair, too weak to go out and do things. But she sat there and she suffered. And every word that this invalid would utter, they said, every night she suffered was a gospel sermon.
Wow.
So they said, here you have a pulpit and here you have a life that's quiet and unromantic and hard. The gospel is preached in hundreds of languages. And they said, out of those two pulpits, the pulpit of this dairyman's daughter and the pulpit of Whitefield, they said, we don't know which one had the most impact and won the most souls. But the one was sick. And she just sat there. And how she endured it was her dominion. She and nobody in this room gets to choose the portions of life that come against you that we try to change. Brother Branham says Satan even has a knock coming at you. And we don't get to choose. None of us would choose tragedy. But tragedy comes. None of us would choose physical sickness that would start striking us. None of us. None of us would choose our jobs suffering, our financial problems. None of us would choose that. But God says, through that, you are responsible to carry what has been opened to you. Because you're the vessel that's holding the treasure. You're the vessel that's holding the treasure.
Yeah.
And because the vessel is so earthen, the vessel does not get the glory.
Right.
The treasure gets the glory.
Amen.
Oh, praise the name of the Lord.
Amen.
We're thankful that we have the opportunity to carry this treasure. And all the glory is God's. Blessed be the name of the Lord. One was a ministry of speech and the other was a ministry of submission. Both were powerful. Brother Branham said in Power of Transformation, he says, I think of a little sister here in the wheelchair. Sometimes many faithful prayers has been made over it. Now, listen, I am a firm believer in divine healing. I am a recipient of divine healing. I believe, amen, that there's not one case that comes before God, amen, that is too powerful that God says, look, I'm going to turn away and not deal with this. I just can't. No, there's nothing impossible with God, nothing too hard. I've seen in our own church dead wombs open. I've seen cancer healed. I've seen people instantaneously healed. I've seen it all happen like that. But then there's others that you pray over and you pray over and you pray over. Got a sister in our church that sits in a wheelchair. She's got multiple sclerosis and she sits there, but she's the biggest smiler in the church.
She's one of the happiest women in the church. Now, if the thing, you know, why? You know, why doesn't God just touch her? You know, it can change the whole thing. But you know, that testimony of sitting there with that attitude. When you have people that are unsatisfied and they're fully healthy. That's a ministry. Amen. It's a responsibility. I trust that's all right. So Brother Ram said we had this little sister in this wheelchair. Said sometimes many faithful prayers have been made over it. We don't understand, so we just commit it to God. She's a flower here among you with her pleasantness and everything. See, we can get up and go around, and she would long to do that, but yet she is pleasant just the way she sits. And I always get inspired to watch this little lady because we all believe in healing. We've seen God do miracles far beyond that, see? And she knows that too, but she's willing to take her place.
Yeah. Wow.
See, whatever it is, that's what we want. None of us want that. But he says, whatever it is, that's what we want.
Right.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Why? Because there's a power in it. There's a power in submitting to where you are that God can use. And He would take a little girl who no doubt her world has become very small. And is confined to this wheelchair, confined to, you know, just the places she can go, where somebody can take her. But what she's confined to has inspired a prophet. Why? Because in all she could be, she was responsible to be that. Again, no doubt you've heard these testimonies, but I just wanted to say these. Brother Branham talked about Mrs. Weber, that the angel of the Lord said she was dying with TB, and go tell the family. He has five or six little children. Angel of the Lord come to me at night, says, go tell Mr. Weber, get things ready. He's going to be left with those children on his hands, for his wife is going. So I went and told Mr. Weber, and I told his little girl, told their girl, Jean Rose, who's a nurse now, a young lady now, this was about 7 years ago, I says, Jeannie, your mother's going to die. She can't live but a little while longer.
Right.
This is the statement. She's going to die. And the angel of the Lord says it. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
But a couple days later, where Sister Weber was working at the government depot, she said, again, if I could only have Brother Bill pray for me once more. I seen my cousin was healed with cancer, and the doctor had given her just till morning, and her daughter's a nurse also. And the other girls that she worked where she was working with said, there's nothing to that guy.
Yeah.
Said, he's nothing but a hypocrite. That's all that religion is. Just a bunch of fake fanaticism. And Mrs. Weber said, look, I'm dying. I know that I'm dying, but I just won't stand still for that kind of talk. I know better than that. I live around this city.
Yeah.
I live around that man.
Yeah.
All the time I've seen him from a child growing up, she fully knew him. I know, and you can call it fake if you want to, but I've seen it so much, and I've seen God heal the people, and I know the man's life, and I know it's the truth.
Yeah.
And Brother Branham said, it just so happened to be the angel of the Lord heard that.
Yeah,
you know, it just seems like the angel of the Lord hangs around His people.
Yep.
Right. Amen. And here she has an opportunity. She's dying. She has an opportunity. She says, if I could just have Brother Bill pray for me one more time. And when they begin to mock him and say he's a hypocrite, we got that a lot.
Yeah.
Amen. She stood up and said, I know this message is the truth.
Yeah. Good.
She was being responsible in what she could be.
Yeah.
She might not have been able to explain everything, but she had her opportunity to have godly dominion. And her word was, I know that's the truth.
Yeah.
And the angel of the Lord heard that. And Brother Bam said, I got up that night, 3 o'clock in the morning, and there come the angel of the Lord. And he said, tomorrow, they're going to pick Mrs. Weber up and bring her down. She'll be sitting on the right side, far back in the tabernacle.
Yeah.
I heard her, and tell her I heard her. Oh, then, we ought to be careful.
Yeah.
Hey, our thoughts ought to be sanctified. Our words ought to be sanctified. Our conversation about one another should be sanctified. Why? We are responsible with this opportunity we've been given.
Amen.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Good.
Well, you know the rest of the story. Amen. She was healed. His presence was there when she was taken up for what was right.
Yeah.
Now, the scripture that we read in Matthew 24, the Bible says that they were to give meat in due season. And meat in due season is translated as seasons or times at which certain foreordained events take place. So the servant is commanded by his Lord to give meat in the right season. The message has to be right and it has to be for the time. And then he said, blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he comes, shall find him doing this. So, I believe there is an operation at work of the Holy Ghost in the body of believers that is at work right now.
Yeah.
And that is giving the household what is in due season.
Yeah.
Now notice, the servant is made ruler over his household. He has a domain. He has a rulership. But that rulership or domain is constrained by the one he is servant to. But the Bible said there was an evil servant, one who had his own ideas about the Lord and about his coming, and he began to smite his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunken.
Yeah.
Now the smiting and the drunkenness are in conjunction together, and that word smite means to strike repeatedly. It was just the focus that he had. He just kept smiting them and smiting them and smiting them. Now he's a Lord. Or rather, he's a servant that the Lord has given domain to. But he's using what power he has to strike repeatedly instead of give in due season.
Sure.
That word smite, meaning strike repeatedly, means to pummel. And it shows how the servant abused his position in the household. And the drunken are the uninhibited, the unrestrained. He began to abuse what was meant for stimulation. So, the servant was given a position of trust. He's given a dominion that is governed by the Lord of the household. And what made the servant evil was when he left off doing what he was commanded by the Lord to do.
Yeah.
That's what made him evil.
Yeah.
So let's notice two things before we go into this. The servant was commanded to give. That's the nature of the position.
Yeah.
To give. And to give is in relation to the Word. Give them the truth. With the truth comes hope. With the truth comes washing. With the truth, comes the power of the Holy Ghost. Can you say amen? When the Word is given in the nature that the Lord has commanded it, it will bear the fruits of giving. One of my favorite quotes in the church age book is this. He says, God never asked a man to labor 30 years and harvest nothing. If He called you to do something, He expects a harvest out of it because He said He gave you an open door of Word and power.
Amen.
Amen. I can go back to God and I can tell Him this. You called me. And you never called me not to harvest anything. I expect there to be a harvest of the Word when it's preached. I don't have to see the whole thing, but I expect there to be harvest because God commanded it. He's the Lord of the harvest. And He said, if I called you, I don't call an empty ministry. I don't call you to smite the people. I don't call you to pummel them repeatedly with your own doctrine. I call you to give the Word as I have given it to the people and give it in the season that I've commanded it to be given in. And that season had to be announced by a vindicated prophet, not by just any upstart who rises up, but it came in the channel of restoration. And surely the Lord God will do nothing except to reveal its secrets through His servants, the prophets. So when the Lord has commanded it, it will bear the fruits of giving. And when the Word goes through you, and the Word comes out of you, the essence of the Word should not be changed. Can I say that again? When the Word goes through us, the essence of it should not be changed. It should still retain the same integrity it is when it comes to you. Oh, what a responsibility. It's only magnified by my testimony. The Word is only magnified when it comes through your life. Not distorted, not losing its essence, magnified because your testimony, amen, puts, amen, a punctuation on Jesus Christ. It's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's still calling out of sin. He's still calling out of the church. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That same call is being uttered out of our lives, and the essence of it hasn't changed. It only changes when we become evil and we begin to smite the people. That is not the nature of a servant. So when the evil servant took the Word and began to smite, he has interfered with the effectiveness of the Word. Many people today, no doubt in this area, no doubt in the area where I come from, many people's view of the Word are affected by the vessel that it came to them in. And the vessel was not coming to them in humility. Amen. Wasn't coming to them in the way the servant or the Lord of the servants has showed them how to give. Because the Lord showed us how to give. He showed us how to be a servant.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
The Lord of glory showed us how to humble ourselves. And if we humble ourselves to that Word, the Word will not lose its effectiveness. What will the Word do? It'll give faith to true sons of God. The Word gives faith. It does something to them when the Word, the covenant is made manifest, gives faith to the true sons of God. And can I just break in? Just give just a snippet of my family's testimony. No doubt you've read in the church, the Conduct Order and Doctrine book, you've read the question asked, Brother Branham, I have two daughters married to men in the denominations. They've received opposition. What should they do? That was my grandmother asking Brother Branham this question. One of those daughters is my mother. Brother Branham said, hold fast. Show your colors. Hold fast. What is hold fast? Stand. Show your colors. In other words, don't be ashamed to stand for what you believe, like Mrs. Weber. He says, now when it comes to fellowship, I don't tell you not to go around with them and fellowship. He said, but when it comes to the Word, a dove cannot eat with a buzzard. That was his answer to my grandmother's question. I am a living testimony. Yeah. Amen. That God magnified that Word because Brother Branham was not taken away from the integrity of the Word. He was saying in Kentucky English what Paul told them back there in Ephesians. Stand, and when you've done all to stand, stand therefore. You may not understand how hard the pressure can get. And when it got so hard on my mother, and she went back to my mom. You're going to think my family's really weird. When my mother went back to my mom, you can just wipe that out of the video, right? All right. When my mother went back to grandmother and says, Mom, are you sure this is the truth? My grandmother, all she could say was, Diana, I don't know what else is. But she needed that human element to encourage her. For my daddy was putting all kinds of pressure on her, telling us children, don't believe what your mama believes. And she's in a cult and doing everything he could, amen, to destroy, amen, our confidence in what she believed in. For 10 years, she held fast. When it came down to the end, and my dad was ready to leave and take us children, he gave her a choice. Go to your brother's baptism, or when you get back, I'm gone and the children are gone. Wow. But Brother Branham says, hold fast, show your colors. That's her responsibility. Yeah. She may not understand all of about it, but that was the answer that was given to the problem. So now it's her opportunity. Let me tell you, if you stand for God, God will stand for you. and you let it come right down to the last minute of the last hour of the last day. But I want you to know when He gets done with it, it's not you, it's Him that's done it. Amen. Amen. She had lost her strength, but God still had His. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And just in that moment when she said, I'm going to go anyhow. Amen. That's when the Lord dropped down. Amen. And turned my dad around. In a week he was baptized. Why? Amen. Because somebody stayed with the promise that was given to them. Let me tell you, the pressure's going to get hard, but don't give up. Amen. The pressure's intense. Don't give up. He is faithful. The one that has promised you is faithful. And you say, well, Brother Hayne, when's my trial going to come? You may be in it right now. Hold your stand. Yeah. Show your colors. Yeah. Show whom you believed. Yeah. Amen. Let a man show account of us as the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Sure. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Trustworthy. Can God trust me with the message He's entrusted to me? Can He trust me to stand and the message not lose its integrity? Right. Can He trust me to be a conduit, to be a pipe, and not claim I'm the rock? And I'm not claim I'm the water. Can He trust me, amen, not to take away from His power so I can have my own? Yeah. Can He trust me to be a conduit and the Word not lose its essence and the Word not lose its integrity but have the same effect as when He stood and preached it Himself? Well, because God has done so much more in this ministry than He did in His own. Wow. That's what the prophet said. Amen. You know, you stop and think about it. The spirit of Elijah that came the first time had 4 miracles. The second Elijah that came had a double portion. He had 8. The third Elijah that came, we don't read of any miracles that he had other than the message of repentance.
Yep.
But the fourth one that came, he said he done more in this church in Jeffersonville than he did in his entire ministry. He did more in this church than he did in all the other times. And in 1946 alone, there was recorded by the American press, there was recorded over 35,000 miracles alone in that year.
Wow.
Brother Benham said himself in Durban, South Africa, and he never changed that story. He said in Durban, South Africa, he said 25,000 in 1 minute's time were healed.
Wow.
So you have just those two instances right there. What is that, 60,000? Just in those two times, that one year, and then that one instant. Think of the things that God has went around and around and around the world and showed before the people.
Yeah.
What a responsibility.
Good.
Amen. So, the servant was commanded to give, but he began to smite. Smiting is not giving. Smiting is not giving. Remember the dream Brother Branham had of the man with a three-cornered club?
Yep.
He was smiting the woman with the doctrine of the Trinity.
Yep.
The woman represented the church. Brother Branham said every time she started to rise up, he said that was to receive revelation. This man, which represented the denomination, would strike her down with that doctrine. And it would cause her to lose her strength. And she'd lay on the floor and cry. He said, and in the dream, he said, finally, I went over and told him, he said, don't do that again. He said, if you do, you have to deal with me. He said, it seemed like the man was afraid of me. So what was that smiting doing? It was keeping her from rising up. She was trying to rise up in faith when the Word was coming in, but she's held down by the smiting of the organizational spirit that was over her. This organizational spirit took the same Bible that we believe in and twisted the words of it to make up a trinity. And beat the people with it. But what is given by God is meant to bring faith into the body. In fact, every message we preach, no matter what we title it, and no matter what angle we take, is really all about faith. Amen. For the message of the hour, as represented by Brother Branham, was to deal with that abusing spirit of organization so that the woman would be free of it. This message is the power of God unto salvation. I believe that. This message is rapturing faith, for faith cometh by hearing the Word of God. Two things, giving or smiting. under giving, you can even give correction. Correction is not smiting. It's giving correction. You can give encouragement, but smiting is one thing. Abuse. Abuse. And how Satan will try to work in our minds to change the effect of that word through you till it can become something that will abuse the people and not correct him. You know, an abused woman will keep coming back for it. She'll begin to expect that's the way church should be.
Yep.
Amen. But the bride of Christ can receive correction because she wants to be clean, because she knows in herself. She knows in herself what she has need of. So when she hears the Spirit of God trying to cut something out of her life, then she's thankful to receive it because it gives her the strength to be able to be free of it.
Yeah.
That's what the true preaching of the Word does.
Amen.
Brother Bam said, holds that spirit back that tries to keep you bound, to give you the chance to respond to the moving of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Brother Branham had to learn. He had to learn to listen to the voice of God and not to other voices that would influence him away from what God intended for him.
Amen.
And we've all heard his life story, but he said that when he took his gift, when he should have taken his gift amongst the Pentecostal people, he was persuaded otherwise by the pressure put on him by his own family. And his own account of it was, when his mother-in-law told him, he said, I won't let my daughter go amongst that trash, his account of it was, well, I couldn't stand that, so I told her, well, we'll wait and we'll go later. He said, there's where I made my mistake.
Sure.
If I would have went on, this gift would have been in operation way before that, because I would have come amongst people who would recognize it.
Sure.
You see, but I said, well, we won't go. And brother and sister, from right then, my trouble started. The first thing you know, my church began to drop off. My brother was killed suddenly. His neck broke in the street. Amen. My sister-in-law died a few days after that. My father died in my arms. Everything began to go wrong. And then also his wife and his daughter, Sharon Rose. But notice what correction does to a son of God. God wasn't smiting him. God was correcting him. And what it does to a son of God, he can receive correction because through that correction will come dominion. And now here is years later, when Brother Julius Stadscliff's baby died, and they've held the baby up under an oxygen tent in Germany, that if he would come and pray for the baby, they knew the baby would be brought back to life. That's the faith they had. They even spoke to the doctors about it. And the doctors agreed, we'll keep this baby under an oxygen tent until Brother Branham is flown over and is able to pray for the baby. But Brother Bam said he prayed about it and God told him not to go. You know, Sister Stadscliff asked Brother Branham later, said, was it my lack of faith that you didn't come? Was it my lack of faith that God didn't heal the baby? Brother Bam says, no, you had great faith.
Yeah.
So the faith was already there to heal the baby.
Yeah.
He says, anybody can have faith when things are going your way.
Right.
He said, but when things are going backward and you still believe, that's real faith.
Yeah.
So she already had that. So Brother Branham was able to tell them, he sent them a tape message of consolation. And I'll just read to you just a little bit of it. He says, Brother and Sister Stadscliff, how can I make you see no more than I could when I went in the room to pray for my little Sharon and God refused to hear me? I couldn't understand then how that would be His program. I couldn't understand then. But look what that little story has done. You remember Brother Bam's story of it? He said, I stood there and I prayed, God, heal my baby. He said, a black sheet dropped down in front of me. He said, I knew God had refused my prayer. Then Satan moved up. Then Satan said, after all you've done for him, you've preached on the streets, God has healed people through your prayers, and now when you ask Him, He won't do it. He said he couldn't tell me God wasn't true. He only wanted me to think that God didn't care. He said, but then when I said, yes, that's right, and I opened up my mouth to say, then if God is that way, I'll no longer serve Him. He said, but when I opened up that mouth, out of my mouth come, William Branham, who are you anyhow? Though God slay me, yet I trust Him. What was it? He said, there was an anchor in there that held. And that story, he said, that little story, look what it has done, brought thousands to Christ. And a few weeks ago, he said, I'm coming down off of a hillside where I went one afternoon in the woods to hunt. This is Brother Branham's response. He's sending this tape over to the Julius Stadscliff and them as a consolation. He said, I was sitting up on the hillside thinking of the time when I was a little boy and I used to squirrel hunt. And I thought, things has changed a lot since then. But look at the sorrow. If you would go through it, would you do it again if you had to go back over life? And first I said, I don't believe I would because I'd have to go through the sorrow of seeing my first wife go, my little daughter go, and them. But then something said, but look at the thousands of souls that had been saved. And I said, God, yes, sure. I'd go through it again. Sure. That's dominion. God has brought him to a place, opportunity of godly dominion when he chose to stand. Two more things and I'll close. The power, and I know these are familiar to you, but the power that God placed in Brother Branham's hand in that meeting in New England. He said, the Holy Spirit had warned me, you got a trap. But you know, it's just like the Holy Spirit to tell you there's something coming, but He don't tell you what it is. But He just warns you that it's coming. Why? Because you have the choice. How are you going to respond? How are you going to respond tomorrow? And He said, and you can go back and listen to the tape where it happens. And he was saying that he was there and he watched this couple on the front row acting immoral. And he said, he told them to stop and they wouldn't stop. And he told them again and he said they wouldn't stop. And then I thought, oh, there it is. Because the boy laughed right at him. He says, there it is. There's the trap. And I went ahead speaking just the same, and he got so immoral till I had to stop again. And I said, don't do that, sir. If you want to make love to the young lady, leave the building. But this is a religious meeting. I said, don't do that. And I started again, and he got worse. And then something said to me, say what you will, and it'll be done. Say what you will, and it'll be done. And I stood there. There stands the tape boy standing there, Brother Fred standing there. The perspiration was running off of me and something said, say blindness and it'll be blind. Say death and it'll be packed out. Say what you will. He said, I couldn't speak and I couldn't move and it left. And I thought, God, what must I do? And I turned and he stood there and the boy's face was white looking at me. I thought, what must I say? And then I turned and looked and before I knew what I said, I forgive you of your act. And it must have been the right thing to say. It was God trying a reaction on an action.
Yeah.
And that night it was revealed to me that I had said the right thing.
Yeah.
And then he said, you know you have to watch with a divine gift what you do with it. You see, we're the bride of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
We claim to be.
Yeah. Right.
We claim to be the place in place of Christ, the body that He is working through right now. We can make a lot of statements about being the bride and who she is and what she stands for without realizing the responsibility that comes with it.
Yeah.
We can call it revelation, but if it's not, amen, fully revealed to you the responsibility of that position, you end up smiting the people instead of giving the people. He said, it's what the Lord wanted me to say. Amen. When he said, I forgive you, and he said, there's witnesses sitting right here. When I forgive, he said, I forgive you, then the Holy Spirit fell through. And then he asked the question, what would you do with the power? What a question that comes to us. You know, I'm speaking to you from the level of a prophet and his experiences. But on every level in here as a believer, professed believers of Christ, we're responsible to how we respond with what we've been given. And the opportunities are going to come to respond, believe me. And what you respond with and how you respond will either become a testimony or become abuse. Lord, let me give, not smite. I don't want to be confused about His coming. I don't want to be confused about His position. What I give, I want to give to the people hope. There's a last one in here that's so downtrodden and don't know the way back that something can be said that'll pierce that darkness and bring hope to that life that has given up. Come back to God. One more story. Very familiar. Forgive me for all the stories I'm telling tonight. But they're not stories, they're testimonies. They only magnify God. Brother Branham said, when he went to that, and you're all familiar about him going into that restaurant in Toledo, Ohio. He said, I walked in there, and he said, I looked over, and there stands a policeman with his arm around an underage girl. He's at the gambling machine, and he looked at all the drinking going on and all the evil that was in the place. He said, and his eyes settled on this old lady who had blue hair. And this is just how he described it. He said, blue hair, flabby arms, and two guys sitting there drinking with her. And I said, I looked around and said, oh God, is this what my children, my little Becky and them's got to be raised up in? He says, oh God, why don't you just smite it off the earth? And he said, the angel of the Lord said, get behind the door. I'm afraid many times we have to do the same thing. Get behind a door somewhere so the Lord can speak to us. And he said, and I got behind the door. And he says, when I was there, he said, I looked. He said, he began to show me a spray of blood. Notice this was a vision. He said, this vision come, the world turning, and around the world was a mist that looked like blood spraying around. And I looked in there, and I was doing things wrong. And every time I'd do something wrong, my sins would start before God, and God would slay me for it. But Jesus was standing there like a bumper, and He caught it. And I seen the tears run down His cheeks, and I'd do something else bad. I know this will throw a lot of people off when the prophet said he would do something bad. He said, but His blood would hold it and keep it from touching me and from killing me. He said, God would kill me. But I looked at it in the vision. I went up to Him and I said, Lord, I'm ashamed of myself. There lays my book with all kinds of evil wrote on it. And I said, will You forgive me, Lord, that I put You in that condition? Did my sins cause You to have to die for me? Oh, Lamb, please forgive me for my sins. I won't do that no more. And He reached back. He tapped His hand like this and wrote across the book with His own blood, pardon, and He threw it behind Him. And then He opened up a new book. And I said, thank You, Lord. I'll do anything You tell me to do. I love You, Lord Jesus. What a vision. You see, if it's a vision from God, you can't just throw it away because it don't agree with your theology. But the angel pulled Him back there and said, I want to show You something. And then I said, I love You, Lord. And He said, I freely forgive You for all that You have done. And then He turned and I saw the woman. You see, here's a servant who thought to do evil, to smite instead of give. His position as prophet, his position as minister, didn't mean he couldn't receive correction. And didn't mean he had to have his views, that his views couldn't be changed. But God had to change it. And he had to be submitted to what God was showing him. And he said, he turned and looked. And I saw the woman. And he says, but you wanted to strike her off the face of the earth. And I felt small. And I says, forgive me, Lord. And when the vision left me, I walked up to the little table where she was at, and I said, how do you do? She looked half drunk. She hiccuped a couple times. She says, hello. I said, may I sit down? She says, I have company. See, her thinking is totally gone. She's half drunk. She thinks he's coming for a date. And I said, I didn't mean it that way. I'd like to say a word to you. And he sat down and he asked her, how long you've been living this life? She looked over. And I begin to think, poor thing, what she's been through. You know, isn't it something? If we spend time in the presence of God, it changes that attitude we have, that power we think we have with the message. To smite. And she must have recognized me and said, "Are you that minister down there, Mr. Branham?" And I said, "I am." And she got hold of my hand. She began to cry. She said, "Sir, my husband was a preacher. And after his death, I have two girls." Now look how the Holy Spirit has changed his view, because he was interested in her life and knew what she had been through. We can be so shallow with the message by saying, "If you just don't believe it the way I'm preaching it, you're lost. Your own life has not matured to prophecy. It's changed its effectiveness." But here's a prophet who had his own views changed. And his views of that woman was changed so much that first he said, "Lady, forgive me." Here's a prophet asking a half-drunk lady with blue hair and flabby arms, "Forgive me." By the time God got done with him, he didn't think he was better than her. He looked at her with eyes of a servant that gave. And by the time he got done, they both were kneeling on the floor, and he led her back to the Christ she had left. That's what he's interested in. He's not interested in producing theology that makes you think there's no mercy anymore because of our position and who we are, and I'm God. No, church! He wants to use your vessel as a conduit that the Word will not lose its integrity of mercy and hope. How can we say that there's no sacrifice still in heaven? You know, Brother Branham settled that question in the fifth seal. He said, "Mr. Uriah Smith said that there was only an altar of incense there. The altar of incense is the prayers of the people." He said, "But how could there only be an altar of incense, the prayers of the people, without an altar of sacrifice? Because without the altar of sacrifice, the prayers cannot be answered." Lord, change my view that I can see like you. Is that your desire? Today is our day, our opportunity of godly dominion. You're a wonderful group to speak to. We love you with the love of the Lord. And I trust that somehow through today, something has sparked in your heart. I don't want to be just known as a message believer. I want to be known as somebody who the prophet said, "Not for one moment did I come that you would be followers of me. But that I want to see established between man and God a true spiritual relationship." That was what God never come to give a government, amen, to convert us to some form of Christianity. He came to change our lives that we would be Christians. Amen. I trust that's all right. May God richly bless you. We love you with the love of the Lord. Let's stand together. Amen. How many would say, "Lord, make me a vessel of mercy. Make me a vessel of mercy. Make me a vessel that gives and doesn't smite." It's easy to lose our compassion for one another, isn't it? We've all got our own problems. It's easy to lose that compassion. We lose our compassion. We lose our prayer for one another, our care. Then we relegate the work of the body only to the pastor, only to a minister. Only he goes prays for the sick, or only he. Well, that's because that's his position. No, we all have a place in the body of Christ. Every joint supplying. Let's bow our heads with a word of prayer. Today's our day, our opportunity of godly dominion. Amen. How many would just want to slip their hand up and say, "God"? And this is easy to raise our hand on, but don't think it's not effective. "Lord, I don't want to be a smiter with truth. I don't want to take what's meant for stimulation and be unrestrained and drunken. I want to be one who gives." In the spirit of that very scripture that you said, "Let me give. I am in a position of stewardship. Let me give as you have called me to give." Lord, young and old alike, man and woman alike, we're all in a position to give. Let us be faithful in that position, Lord. I pray, Father, you bless every hand here. Do you see the desire of their heart? And Lord, as you had laid this on my heart today to speak this, the opportunities of godly dominion. It's more than quoting the message right. It's walking with it and agreeing with it till it works out in our life. Lord, it can only work through our life if there's been a true conversion there by being born again. There's one here, Lord, who hasn't come to that. Bring them, I pray, in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, in every hand that lift up, they know their own life. Paul said, judge yourself, that you be not judged. Lord, the word is given to us to judge ourselves. Let us be faithful in it, Lord. Make us vessels of mercy, Lord. Vessels of mercy with the message that you've given us. Lord, we love you. We commit this service to you. I pray you bless this church. Bless every officer. Bless every member of it. Bless Brother Barry and his family in a special way. Thank you for the burden in their life. Thank you for the ministry that's there. I pray, Lord, that you would encourage and strengthen them in the name of Jesus Christ. And we all together, Lord, will commit ourselves to you and say, we love you. We love you. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. Bye.
Lord, be glorified. Be glorified in my life. Lord, be glorified today in this church. Lord, I've lived in the United States. I've been glad to live here. I can say the Pledge of Allegiance in two different languages. Said it a lot. Saturday, we're at one of the graduations. The ceremony began, and the person who was leading the ceremony said, let's stand and say the Pledge of Allegiance. And I started off like normal, and I said, I pledge. And it just struck me. It struck me differently because now I'm an American. And it stopped me right there, and I thought, actually, you might think this is funny. I actually got emotional. So I'm thinking, this means a whole lot more to me now. Because I'm saying I pledge. And to pledge means to give with all your heart and all your strength. I pledge allegiance to the flag and to the United States of America and
to the republic for which it stands. And I was thinking, wow, this, nothing's changed about the pledge. Nothing's changed about the flag or the country. But now, my relationship to that has changed. And it's almost like the pledge became a new pledge. Because now I got skin in the game. Right? I got an investment here. And this is now my flag. And for the first time, it really meant something to me. And I felt proud. And you know, I guess, just listen to Brother Danny, you know, you think about, I was thinking about how much better can the preaching get, really? You're hearing solid stuff. You're hearing solid truth. There's not a word of that. Not a word of two whole sermons I'd take back and say, I wouldn't say it that way. Not a word. And I think we can't get any better. How is God glorified then? Let me tell you, God is not glorified because you sat underneath a good preacher and heard a good sermon. A sinner off the street could come and sit and hear a good sermon by a good preacher. God is glorified when you take it out of here and begin to live it. And the word begins to flow through you. And God says, now that's what I'm after. That's what I wanted to see. That's what I wanted to produce in the hearing of the word in the hearts of the people. That's when God's glorified. God's not glorified just because you're here. I mean, this is good. That's a good thing. God's not glorified because you retained a lot in your memory. Let me tell you, it only becomes glory to Him when He sees you take that word and go out and live it out there in the trenches in the real world. And you pledge to follow it with all your heart. Last time I was in Israel, we went north to the tribe of Dan. I was telling Brother Danny after service this morning, and for the first time, never been there before. And when they brought us up through the north there, we found the place where they have discovered that Jeroboam's altar actually was, King Jeroboam. And when he was at the altar offering sacrifices, which he should not have been, and the prophet came out of nowhere with no name, and he said, he cried against the altar, and he said, oh altar, and the altar, when Jeroboam reached out for him, his hand became withered and he pulled it back to himself. You remember the story? And the altar split in two and the ashes poured out on the ground and so forth. Great story, dramatic story. And they found that altar. They found the place where it was, and they had a fence around it there, and we stopped, and I told a story of Jeroboam and so forth. And when we were leaving, I reached down and I picked up a stone that was there in the place of the altar and slipped it in my pocket and told the guide, but I slipped it in my pocket. And I have it in my office here. I told Brother Danny I was going to give him a chip off the old block. And I thought to myself this morning, I was listening to that, and I thought, what an opportunity he had to do great things. Given 10 tribes, and a prophet told him he was going to do this, and he's standing there with an opportunity to have dominion over the enemies of Israel and do all the great things, you know, and so forth, but squandered that opportunity. It's not that we don't have opportunities in this church. It's not that we don't hear good things. It's not that we don't hear good word. It's not that God is not putting the word on a platter for us and giving it to us. He is. He does. And He will. That's not how God's glorified. God is not glorified in the delivery of the promise. God is glorified when you take the promise to heart and say, Lord, quicken that word and make it live in me. And let me go live it out there. That's when it makes a difference. So now let's sing it again. In my life, Lord, be glorified. Let's sing that now. And I want you to make this your prayer now. Just like you're making a pledge. I want you to just say, Lord, I want you to be glorified, because I want you to be able to allow this word, or in other words, let's say it this way, the dominion over my life I give back to you. Lord, you be the one who has dominion over me. Is that all right? Because the last thing I want is what I want. The last thing I want is what I want. What I want is what He wants. So, Lord, you take dominion over my life. In my life, Lord, be glorified. Yes, be glorified.
Yes, be glorified in my heart. Oh, be glorified.
I pledge allegiance to the Lamb with all my strength and with all that I am. We have heard of Christians long ago who were brought before a tyrant's throne. They were told again. Hallelujah. Yes, I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. To honor His command, I pledge allegiance. Nobody can sing that pledge like we can, because we're more than Americans. It should mean something to us, right? Because you know what? I got skin in this game. I'm a part of this. That's my country. That's my flag. That's my Savior. That's who I am. I'm identified. In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my life, my strength, my song. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory. No power of hell, no scheme of man can e'er pluck me from his hand till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I stand. First verse again, Josiah. Of love, what depths of peace when fears are still and striving cease. My comforter,
in the love of Christ I stand.
Amen. It certainly has been a privilege to stand in heavenly places in Christ with today. I feel like we've just been feasting together on the Word. It's been such a privilege to have such a wonderful fellowship, isn't it? Let's go before the Lord that makes all this fellowship possible and close out the day together. Dear Lord, our hearts are moved today, Lord. Lord, just to be able to come aside and fellowship in the Word today and spend the day together, Lord, it's been marvelous. And to know, Lord, that it doesn't have to end, Father. Father, that we can go out in this world and carry you with us, Lord. But Lord, may you, the person of Jesus Christ, never become just a club that we beat someone with, Lord. But Lord, help us to change the way that we look at things, Lord, and to always look for the positive and never the negative, Lord. Lord, to hold up this positive gospel, the good news before the people, Lord. Well, I just think about how so many times our sisters are ostracized for our dress, and sometimes we're hesitant to even share our testimonies because of how different we are. But Lord, what our differences really are, the beauty of holiness. It's not a shame, it's not a distress, it's not a bondage that we're trying to bring others under, Lord. Lord, it's something that we're pointing up towards, not beating someone down with. Lord, the beautiful, glorious call of God. We thank you, Lord, for that, Father. May it be reflected and magnified through our lives, Lord. May you bless everyone as we go now, Father, and be with each one. Brother Danny, as he goes home to his people, bless his family, Lord. Bless him for ministering so wonderfully to us today, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name.
There's none like him. No one else can touch my heart like he does. Thank you for being here today. I feel like I've been in church. I don't know how you feel about it. I feel like it's been worth coming today. Thank you, Brother Danny. We sure appreciate your sacrifice today and your coming. I knew I was right. I knew I was right. Sister Steeman, God bless you and your family and assembly. And even though you brought some of your assembly with you, we sure appreciate you being here today, and may the Lord bless you. Take the Word of God, live it as you leave here today, and we look for you on Wednesday night, and may the Lord richly bless you this evening. There is none like you, Lord. No one else can touch heart like you. I can search for all eternity, Lord, and find there is none like you. Sing it as you go tonight. God bless you.